141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's a busy 24 hours for Rangers with Ivar Pander and Dan Neil both arriving. Jack Butland's on the way out. And is Alan McGregor returning as a goalkeeping coach? Celtic are linked with a Lithuanian midfielder. And Dundee's Luke Graham is on his way down south. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Tony Watt. And for the last few weeks, it's been all about Scotland. It's been all about the World Cup. I'm starting to feel that transition now into the transfer window madness.
Yeah, it's been a great couple of weeks following Scotland. I know we never got to the place we wanted to in terms of the last 32, but this is the bread and butter. The domestic stuff's what we all live for. And yeah, it's been a good couple of weeks, but I'm happy to get back into that.
Yeah, it's interesting. On this show, there is always a demand for what's happening at Celtic, what's happening at Rangers, especially around the transfer window. Seems to be very sort of differing levels of activity at both teams. Rangers have already made 5 signings. There's, you know, rumours of more happening, players going out as well, a lot of change in staff. Relatively quiet at Celtic over the past few weeks.
Yeah, I said on this show about the way they handled the manager appointment, which I didn't like. I just thought that they should have got Martin O'Neill done early. I think we're all smart enough to realise the Maloney and Fotheringham situation didn't pan out the way it should have. I think, give them credit for the, is it the boy Ross Grant?
Yep,
the set piece. Hearts. I think that's a good one. I seen Derek McInnes's comments on him last year, how important it was, how many set piece goals they scored as well. So that's good. However, Rangers have made 5 signings, Celtic have made none. They've also left it quite grey on Iheanacho and Oxlade-Chamberlain. So I'd expect in the next kind of week or so since Celtic are back training that we'd hear some signings or re-signings. It could be either, but I'd like to think that Celtic will start moving soon because they can't afford to go into the first game with nothing.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Rangers fans, what have you made of that last 24 hours or so? Because 2 signings confirmed. Ivar Pander, the Hull City goalkeeper, that was announced just before 10 o'clock last night. And just after 10 o'clock this morning, the signing of Dan Neil was confirmed, the former Sunderland defensive midfielder. So are those good signings for you? Is that a sign that things are going well in this transfer window? What else are you looking for? Celtic fans, quiet on the rumours. Are you feeling relatively comfortable, the fact you won a double last season, or do you think that something needs to spring into action over the next few days? 01419511025 on the phones. We'll look at some of the transfer rumours, some of the signings from elsewhere around Scotland, and of course maybe you want to touch on Scotland, maybe you want to touch on Steve Clarke. A lot of calls about that over the last couple of days. We're certainly not done with that, so get your calls in. 01419511025. Just on Steve Clarke, been a lot of talk about it over the last couple of days. Did it come as a surprise to you when his resignation was confirmed?
No, not in the end. I think after the kind of backlash with the performances, I think you could see him handing in his resignation. Look, I think he's done 7 years, was it? He's been successful. He's been probably the most successful Scotland manager in my lifetime. It was just, for me, the only negative would be the manner how they played against Haiti. And I think when people look back, they'll be thankful to Steve Clarke for what he's brought, for what he's done. He has kind of galvanised the country and brought them to 3 major tournaments and a World Cup for the first time in 28 years, was it?
Mm-hmm.
However, he probably knew that the way the Haiti game panned out, for me the Morocco game as well, no shot on target, it just wasn't as nice. And then the Brazil game's just a hit or miss. They've got superstars all over the pitch. I just feel like the Haiti game, he left a lot to be desired. I think it maybe came too soon in the group. If it was the last game, then I went all out. But I think he's more, I think the SFA will now need to go for a more expansive coach, should I say, a more attacking, a more possession, something a bit different, because you've seen the backlash for the defensive and quite pragmatic coach. I think now they're going to need to try and get these players who are playing at a high level, a bit more further forward and a bit more attacking.
Do you have any idea who that manager is? Because I think the suggestions have maybe been a bit scattergun on the phone so far. Some people wanting to go down that Scottish route and maybe realising that they're, you know, there's maybe a bit of a dearth of options. There are some names there, but maybe not as many as people would like. There's then some foreign options, which is not the way that Scotland tend to do things and haven't done it in a while. Some people aiming quite high, other people not so much.
I was listening to something today and they were talking about Pochettino's salary at America was $6 million. Now, we couldn't pay 20% of that. If that's £5 million, let's say, I'd imagine Scotland's budget's £1 million a year. That rules out Thomas Frank and...
I think even that is ambitious.
That's what I mean. And even now your Derek McInnes is like, I know he's Rangers, but that would have probably been the favourite if he wasn't at the Rangers job. People like that will be on more money than that. Scotland haven't got a wealth of riches that they can go and cherry pick who they want. Now it will need to be somebody that they probably need to be similar to like your Hearts who go out and get a Jamestown appointment. Scotland will probably need to go down a data driven route and try a Jens the way Motherwell appointed Tim. Now, for me, I don't know who I'd like to see. Somebody, you'd love an Ange, you would love a Jens Bertolasco, somebody that kind of defied the odds, but I don't think Scotland have got that kind of pull at the moment.
Whether it is Rangers signings, Ivar Pander, Dan Neal, what about Jack Butland leaving, Alan McGregor returning, maybe you are a Celtic fan that wants to talk about maybe a lack of transfer business so far, maybe you're feeling okay about that, you can get in touch. 0141 951 1025. Still taking plenty of thoughts on Scotland, the World Cup campaign as a whole, Steve Clarke's resignation, and we're also watching one of the World Cup games that's on at the moment. Could be a big shock in the cards. It's England 0, DR Congo 1. I think DR Congo have looked not too bad for their lead as well. England thought they should have had a penalty in the first half. Looked as if it probably shouldn't have been Harry Kane maybe initiating the contact on the goalkeeper. The DR Congo goalkeeper has had a few saves to make, but they're doing well.
Yeah, they are. And I actually heard Riyad Mahrez talking about it today. 9 out of 10 African teams got to the last 32, which is incredible. It's a brilliant stat. One thing that they've shown in this tournament is they'll get in your face, they'll give you a good battle, and they have got a bit of quality. They've got quite a lot of Premier League players or ex-Premier League players in the side. Now, England have probably been a little bit of a letdown in terms of... I like Rashford, kind of forward-thinking, direct, but they probably need a wee bit more of that. Madueke's a bit of a hit and miss, and then Kane's always good for goals and so is Bellingham, but I just don't think England are the England of old. I just don't think they excite teams anymore, and the problem with that is Tuchel wants to be a knockout team, but if they go out, he's gone. I don't think there's any way back because the football hasn't been good and they've not achieved a goal, but there is still 45 minutes left. I think they will get a goal, but I think they'll need to reconsider what route they're going down now, England, because for the last few years they've been young, quite good football, good group together, building. Whereas this tournament, it's as if they've just chucked 11 players together and they don't look as if it's working, to be honest.
Okay, let's get into the Scottish stuff. But if there is any updates in that game, we will let you know about it. Right, 0141 951 1025. Ross is a Celtic fan in Pollock. Ross, what have you got for us tonight?
Andrew, Tony, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Good. I've just recovered after the World Cup, Andy, and then you look at the domestic matters and you think, oh, here we go again. That's just literally how we feel at the minute. I just feel as if for Celtic, it's just rinse and repeat every season. Last year, we never even get into the Champions League because we could beat off Kaira, and here we are, a month before we play our first qualifier. I think it was on the 18th or the 19th of August. And, well, sorry, just short of a month, sorry, but I think in terms of the new season starts at the start of August, but about a month away from the new season, here we are yet with another signing in the door, and it just seems like we never learn from mistakes, and every season it's just the same stuff every season, and I generally do fear that if we don't start getting signings in the door, it's going to be Kaira Omati all over again. I don't see us getting into the Champions League with this squad is not good enough. And I don't know what part of the board can sit and watch this and see that what us Celtic fans are looking at. The squad got out of jail last year. We were 3 minutes away from losing the league. And literally, here we are again with the same squad, getting into the same next season. And for me, if we don't get signs in the door, it's just, it's going to be the exact same as last season again.
How big a worry is that, do you feel? Because I think it's 33 days until Celtic's first competitive game of the season, which is their first league game. Their Champions League qualifier doesn't come until a few days after that. But Celtic are going to want to be more than prepared going into those games. As Ross mentioned, we all saw what happened in the Champions League qualifiers last season. Do Celtic still have enough time to get it all clicking together? Or would you have thought by this point more should have happened?
Look, I don't want to be negative about Celtic. I don't want to be speaking badly. I agree with Ross. The squad at the moment isn't good enough. They did get out of jail. They haven't learned from mistakes. But what he said, that Celtic will just have the same season as last season, I totally disagree, because Maeda wants to go. In the last seven games, Maeda carried Celtic. He was unbelievable. He was a difference.
And now, Martin O'Neill described him as Larson-esque.
Yes,
after
and,
that period.
And I'd agree in terms of what he'd done and what he how he performed in the cup. And in the league, it was unbelievable. And for me, if he goes, Celtic are going to need to replace two positions, because he helped the striker with the pressing and he helped the winger if he played through the middle. He grabbed goals and he just performed. He's not the most natural footballer, he's not the most fluent, but what he does is unbelievable. And I don't think Celtic can replace him. But they're at a moment right now where they can improve every other aspect of the team and not rely on Maeda. And I don't know if they know that yet. We'll find out in 2 weeks, 3 weeks when they do their signings. But for Celtic, if they lose Maeda, they need to improve about four or five positions, because he got Celtic out of jail.
Are you expecting Daza Maeda to go, Ross?
Ideally, I don't want him to leave. I just would want to say that I think if he loses Maeda, you're really in it, because you really need to go out and get somebody of that calibre. I don't think Celtic have got what it takes to go and get somebody like Maeda, because obviously in terms of to get somebody like Maeda, you're going to have to break the bank in terms of 10, 15 million. But for me, just the concern thing is, Andrew, that when did the season finish? In middle of May, so we're literally 2 months, nearly 2 months ago since the season finished, and not one player has been brought in. And as I say, it took us 5 weeks to get Martin O'Neill confirmed. And it just seems to be the same stuff every single season. And then we get to this point every season. We know the Champions League qualifiers are coming up and we never prepare for them. And just, honestly, I don't know about you, Tony, but I fear next season. Rangers have just went and got Derek McInnes. Derek McInnes ran us close with Hearts. What's he going to do on a budget with Rangers? That's the concern. So for me, Rangers are going to be stronger next season. And Celtic, for me, are just getting weaker and weaker every season that comes. And if we lose Maeda, that's just a nightmare to happen.
I suppose there will be some Celtic fans out there that will say, you know, transfer windows maybe do tend to have a slow start for them and it maybe doesn't kick off the way they want it to. But you look at the end of the season and more often than not, Celtic are lifting the trophy and are lifting multiple trophies. But Ross and other Celtic fans just will have concerns. Naturally, you know, people will say they don't look over the fence and see what other teams are doing. But if, you know, Rangers and Hearts, who ran Celtic close enough last season, are making signings and are looking as if they're adding to their squad, it's only going to add to worries and concerns for Celtic fans that they're maybe not moving quick enough.
Yeah, I do think that Celtic only had Alistair Johnson for 3 or 4 games. Well, between the split probably and maybe a cup game or whatever before. He made a massive difference. I think Carter Vickers coming back would make a massive difference. I don't know where Jota is in terms of his recovery.
Quite a bit away, I think.
He would make a massive difference. So
Arne Engels didn't play a whole lot last season, made an impact when he came back. But question marks over his future
as well.
I
think Celtic, at the moment, before you add any signings, are ahead of Rangers. I think last season, if you take away the kind of 6 to 8 games that Nancy had, Celtic would have walked the league, right? Hearts were brilliant, but Hearts probably were very unlucky not to win the league, but Celtic had a transitional moment with Nancy, so there was a problem there. They went back to what they were doing with Martin O'Neill, and they won the league and they won the cup. That's totally fine, but you take away Maeda. Celtic didn't have an amazing style of play last year. They tried to embed one, but they probably didn't have enough time and they didn't have enough windows. January, you probably look in and say Celtic didn't get the players they wanted in terms of Martin O'Neill, Fotheringham and Maloney. Now, by all accounts, Maloney and Fotheringham are great coaches and Martin O'Neill, we know what he can do. So I'd expect Celtic to be good this year. but they do need signings. If they lose Maeda, they need a lot of signings.
Ross, what about Kelechi Iheanacho and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? Uncertainty over their futures. The options to extend their deals by another year have now expired. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has been pictured training in Portugal. There's chat about Kelechi Iheanacho potentially interesting other clubs. Do you want to see them back? Do you think it's maybe time for them to move on?
I think Iheanacho, towards the end of the season, did start to get important goals for us. And I think, obviously, his issue was fitness, I think it was. But for me, I would have kept Iheanacho. In terms of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, don't get me wrong, I think he did come in and he did look good in a couple of games, but I don't think he set the head on fire in terms of the Celtic fans would be banging the door down for him to stay. But for me, it's concerning that, as I say, there is positions where we need to strengthen. The goalkeeping situation, I know Sinisalo's been the number one since obviously what's happened to Casper, but I just feel as if, again, that's an issue as well. We don't have another backup goalkeeper that I think is good enough at the minute. And there's four or five positions that Celtic need to strengthen. And then, as I say, if we're going to lose Maeda, that's another position. So it just seems to me as if the problems are there, but Celtic, just, I don't know why, are reluctant to go and get players in the door early door. As I say, when Ange Postecoglou was there, you had signings in the door before the window had even opened, so you knew exactly who was coming in. And then all of a sudden, it's just this whole, we wait, we wait, we wait. And then I think it's the whole thing about, we seem to try and get by the qualifiers on a minimum budget, and then we end up not qualifying for the Champions League, and then we're racing against time to try and get boys in the door before the end of the window. So it's just the same story every season. But Tony, I don't know how you can sit there and say that Celtic will be good next year, because for me, the information that we're getting at the minute from Celtic is little. So I don't know what's giving you the confidence, but listen, I'll take it, but I don't see it, honestly.
No, it's not that. I think they'll need to replace Maeda, and that means you need to sign a left winger and a striker, because they needed a striker. Maeda filled in, he's Celtic's left winger, so if he goes, you need to replace him. They need a right winger as well. They need two centre mids, because there's a good chance Negrin and Ingles go. And if you want to improve the squad, you need to add to them as well. So you're probably talking three centre mids. Take the workload off Cal McGregor, you're probably going to need a six. And then you're definitely needing a centre back. Goalkeeper situation depends what they want to do with Sinisalo. I thought he'd done well. There's talks that they're trying to sign a goalkeeper. I genuinely think, and on paper here I've got seven wrote down, I think Celtic need minimum six or seven signings this window. I know Rangers have went and got five. Rangers have checked, and by the way, the last two windows Rangers have signed a lot of players. They've seen that they need extra signings. Rangers will probably get to about 10 signings. Derek McInnes will want as many in as possible. That's what happens when you're competing in Europe, you're competing for the league. And I think Celtic probably need that many as well.
Is your point on having that belief that Celtic will be all right more based on the fact that when Martin O'Neill was in charge with Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham last season, those were Celtic's most successful spells throughout the season? So if they have that consistency across the whole year, rather than the disruptions with, you know, Brendan Rodgers leaving, Wilfred Nancy coming in, having a big gap in between Martin O'Neill's two interim spells, that consistency and that clean run might help them.
Yeah, and Celtic never really had a massive dip, whereas Rangers, obviously Russell Martin came in at the start, it didn't really work for Russell Martin, I get that. But even under Danny Rowe, Rangers were in the driving seat before the split, and was it three or four games in the bounce? They lost the first time in years. Rangers showed that squad needs a massive uplift. Celtic's does, but Celtic showed they can still win games during it, and that's the problem for me. That's the only thing. Maybe the board look at it and go, no, this squad only needs a small improvement. For me, it needs a big one, because there's some quality players there. Don't get my words twisted. Don't get me wrong, anybody. For Celtic to compete where Celtic want to be, which is in Champions League, winning the league comfortably, they need a lot of signings.
Well, thank you to Ross on the line. Rangers fans still want to hear your thoughts on Ivar Pander and Dan Neil, the two new signings that have come in over the last 24 hours. And Scotland fans interested to hear what you're making of the fallout from the World Cup. Steve Clark's resignation. Who needs to come next? 01419511025. That's your number for this as well.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on Tony Watt at Beat the Pundit. Get your call in during the next ad break and you could be up next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are taking your calls on, well, transfers first and foremost today, because it has been a busy time of it for Rangers. Ivar Pander, the goalkeeper, came in last night, and then this morning Dan Neil was confirmed. Jack Butland is on the way out. Alan McGregor is going to rejoin as a goalkeeping coach. Celtic fans have been hearing from a Celtic fan before the break who wasn't feeling too confident really about what was happening or what's maybe not happening in the transfer window. So if you want to add to that, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Of course, taking your calls on Scotland as well. It is still England 0, DR Congo 1 in the World Cup, 65 minutes gone. So we'll keep you updated on what's happening there while we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I feel like you're one of the pundits that's always most excited to love play it. Beat the Pundit. No,
number one excited.
Yeah.
I think it was a joy to watch Roger get beat last week. I didn't like it, but I seen people clip me on Instagram as well. I get tagged in that, but no, it's a joy to play the game.
That was it. You were hoping to see the greatness of Roger Hanna up close, then he ended up losing.
It was still great though. He still get five correct, which you lose with five, you just got to take your hat off to the opponent, don't you? But I think he's minus one's a bit harsh. I'd like to see him just go full season, unbeaten, no punishment, no minus one, and see how well he could do.
See, that's what he did previously, and he was so good that we had to handicap him. So
no, I just think, let him shine.
We'll see. Right, Josh is in Bells Hill. Josh, have you played before?
No.
Why is tonight the night?
Don't know, I'm feeling lucky.
How do you normally get on when you're playing along?
Not too bad. Usually get about a 4 or 5.
It's not too bad. You fancy your chances against Tony?
Aye.
Oh well, he's confident. I
can understand that. What I don't like is there's been no domestic football on, and like I said to you the last time, you can guess a wee question or two, you can preempt one and do your studying. There's nothing here.
We'll see. Right, we'll put something else in the ear of Tony Watt so he cannot hear us. And for you, Josh, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Aye.
Right, let's go for it. Who's older, Sean Maloney or Mark Fotheringham?
Maloney.
You say that, Josh?
Sean Maloney.
Name either Scottish team Alan McGregor played for on loan.
Pass.
In what year did David Moyes replace Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United?
2014.
Which Kilmarnock player was on the bench for DR Congo against England?
Pass.
Who were the only team to score fewer goals in Scotland at the World Cup?
Tunisia.
Which club connects Steve Clarke, Tommy Burns and Graham Murty?
Kilmarnock.
Okay, we'll bring Tony back in. Can you hear us, Tony? No, not yet. Got us now. Stand up music. Right, 30 seconds on the clock for Tony Watt. Let's go. Who is older, Sean Maloney or Mark Fotheringham?
Sean Maloney.
Name either Scottish team Alan McGregor played for on loan.
St Johnstone.
In what year did David Moyes replace Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United?
2013.
Which Kilmarnock player started on the bench for DR Congo against England?
Shibola, Alan T. Shibola.
Who were the only team to score fewer goals than Scotland at the World Cup?
Curacao.
Which club connects Steve Clarke, Tommy Burns and Graham Murty?
Chelsea.
How do you think it went, Josh?
Not too good.
I was poor there.
Think so?
I got the last one wrong 100%.
We'll go through them. I think you maybe did better than you thought. Who's older? Out of Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham, you both said Sean Maloney. There was a bit of a delay on Josh's answer, but he did say Sean Maloney in the end, and it is Sean Maloney by 8 months and 28 days. So it's 1-1 to kick things off. Name either team Alan McGregor played for on loan in Scotland. Josh passed it. You were straight in there.
I knew it was St Johnstone. I don't know the other team.
Dunfermline is the other team. St Johnstone and Dunfermline. So it's 2-1 to Tony Watt. In what year did David Moyes replace Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United? Josh went for 2014. You went for 2013. It is 2013. So it's 3-1 to Tony Watt.
I've read a book and it came back to me, and I don't know what book it was, but they were talking about Moyes replacing, and that number just came into my head.
Good memory from you. Which Kilmarnock player started on the bench for DR Congo against England? Josh didn't know it. Tony did know it. Aaron Tishbola, 4-1 to Tony Watt. You said you didn't do very well. 4-1.
Well, the Moyes
a couple of questions left.
Yeah, the Moyes one's done me a right favour.
Well, you've got 4 out of 4 to this point. Who were the only team to score fewer goals in Scotland
that
at the World
wrong.
Cup?
And I don't know it.
Panama is the answer. Didn't score a single goal at the World Cup, Panama. And Josh didn't get it either. So it's still 4-1 to Tony Watt. You both got the final question in. Which club connects Steve Clarke, Tommy Burns and Graham Murty? Tough one, this. Managed by Steve Clarke and Tommy Burns. Graham Murty played for them.
Kilmarnock.
Down in England.
Chef Wed.
Reading is the answer. That. Josh didn't get it either. So it's a 4-1 win for Tony. Unlucky, Josh.
Good game, Tony.
Good game, mate.
Who's your team, Josh?
Rangers.
How are you feeling about the signings that have been made over the last 24 hours or so?
I'm feeling confident. I'm more confident about the season. No, it's the same after the season. Just build it up, then it's just a life thing, but just need to see what happens.
I think there will always just be those scars, and Josh says it there, that, you know, Rangers have done business, and a lot of the time, you know, fans of clubs will think that's good news, getting players in early, but maybe Josh and other Rangers fans will still just be wary, because there maybe has been that pattern of signings have been made, there's a bit of excitement going on, and then the trophies just haven't been lifted at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just waiting to see.
I actually watched the kind of video of McInnes' first 3 days on YouTube, and I know people are going to say that, but it just seems like he gets it a lot more. The excitement when he was in there, talking about when he'd played there, the manager's office, what the standards were like, you're only allowed to go in if you get fined or you sign a contract. A lot of managers coming in that door wouldn't have knew any of that, and they would have kidded on they did, but he knows what it takes, and it's like that. Obviously, I came through the youth system at Celtic, and just small things they taught you, like clean shaven, wear black boots, and it's not because they want to control, they just show you a discipline, and I think McInnes will instill that from day one, and I think they'll be a better side for it.
The way that Tony's, you know, talking about what he's seen from Dennett McInnes, Al McGregor's joining as a goalkeeping coach, Josh, are these the types of things you want to see? Can that bring Rangers success, do you think, having guys in about the club that, you know what it takes?
Aye, 100%. I think the last few appointments that we really know what the club's about, and bring faces in like Alan McGregor, I think it's only a good thing.
Just on the goalkeeping situation, Jack Butland's on the way out, Ivar Pander in. Did you expect Dennett McInnes to make a change there between the sticks? Did that come as a surprise to you? Is it the right decision, wrong decision?
No, I think it's the right decision. I think it was Jack Button's time to go. I think he had a good season, the first season, but especially near the end of last season, he was just after the ball a wee bit, and just good to see a fresh face in.
Yeah, I mean, it maybe wasn't an immediate problem area that people looked at. As Josh said, you know, Jack Butland did have his moments where he maybe didn't look as confident, did have some real good moments across his 3 years as a Rangers player. But, you know, is that sort of Dennett McInnes stamping his authority on this Rangers team? Because not only has Jack Butland been a regular starter for 3 years, he's also, you know, one of the big names in the changing room. You'd expect he'll have a big influence. He's away, James Tavernier's away. Seems to be a bit of a changing of the guard at Rangers.
Yeah, you can see that. You can see that he's bringing in his own leader, shall we say. I think it's probably the right decision for both. I think Jack Butland's got a lot of football left in him. He's got a chance to go down to the Premier League with Hull, and Rangers get their man as well. So I don't see a problem with that. I think Rangers, people branded them with a mentality problem, and now they're getting rid of a couple of older boys. I think McInnes is probably just thinking, right, I'll get my leaders in, I'll get my guys in. That was the guys for before, who, by the way, for me, good servants to Rangers, Tavernier especially. Butland, really good servant. But McInnes will want his own stamp on it, and that's the case, I think.
What's next then, Josh? Is there any names in particular you'd like to see Dennett McInnes bring in? Anyone that needs to be moved on?
Not too sure about names, but I think there are a few players that they need to move on. I'd like to see them cash in and asking, just bringing more funds for more players, but I can't think of anybody in particular.
Asgard?
I think Ron Shanklin, that's a great signing.
Asgard, they're talking about a couple of moves before he's done well at the World Cup. If they come in with,
I see he was supposed to go for 12 million, you'd cash that in all day.
Yeah, I think I saw some reports from abroad suggesting that maybe Atalanta were interested in him. I saw reports closer to home saying that Dennett McInnes is actually quite looking forward to working with him, and there's a chance he might stay. A name that keeps on popping up over the last few days for Rangers is Lewis Ferguson. Don't know how realistic that is going to be in terms of fee, because it looks big. I did see a report today saying that Rangers, you know, had initial discussions or sounded Bologna out not too long ago about potentially what his position would be. Certainly looks as if it would be a huge outlay, though. Yeah. Could you see that happening, or do you think...
I could see Rangers, with the new ownership, spending a lot of money. They done it with Chimiti last year in terms of 12 million, but the model for Lewis Ferguson at 17 million is probably too much because of the resale value. Now, if Rangers can get him for 7 or 8 million, it's a no-brainer for me. He'd be a potential captain. He's a fantastic player. He showed in the World Cup. He was Scotland's kind of bright spark. The only thing is, at 17 million, without a resale value, unless he goes to the Premier League, I just think it's maybe unachievable. I don't think Rangers can get to the numbers. However, if they
brought in a fee for, you know, a decent fee for Raskin, would that make a difference, do you feel?
Harry Kane.
Oh, Harry Kane has scored for England. It's England 1, DR Congo 1, with 15 minutes to go.
Wow. Big player, big games.
Yeah. Just on Raskin, if Rangers managed to, you know, as Josh was saying, potentially cashing in on...
I don't think they're going to get more than 20 million, and I think Rangers will want to bring players in and sell them on, and that's the only thing that will put them off the Ferguson deal for me. Now, does it bring them instant success? It probably helps their chance to go and compete, yeah.
Hey, thank you to Josh. What about Benjamin, who's in Troon? I think it's Scotland. You want to speak about Benjamin, is it?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? Steve Clark, the World Cup, what's on your mind?
So with Steve Clark, him stepping down was like a big shock. But partly, I don't think it's like his fault that he felt like he needed to step down. Because we were in quite a hard group in the World Cup. Seeing as when we went into the World Cup, Scotland was 42nd in the rankings. And we played Brazil and Morocco. Morocco being 7th and Brazil being 6th. And Brazil having one of the best goalkeepers in the world. We didn't really stand much of a chance.
Yeah, I like that. Benjamin's done his research, and you know it was, you know, really tough opponents we had in that group. I think maybe some of the disappointment stemmed from the way the performances went, the goals that were conceded, rather than the actual results. Because I think the results, you could maybe take them all in isolation and say that they can happen, especially against some really good sides. But you know, Steve Clarke has clearly felt that for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's as far as he thinks he can take the squad. Maybe it's time for a refresh.
I think the thing that kills Scotland and the perception of Scotland is how other teams have qualified, what they've done. They've scored goals, like even your Ecuador's against Germany. Like, these countries have went and done well. Paraguay against Germany, I know Germany have underperformed, but the Scottish fans probably think, why not us? And that's where you can kind of agree with them, but we have got our limitations. We don't have many world-class players, probably don't have any. We've got a few top-class players, but still, the Haiti game's probably the one I keep going on about it, where it left a lot to be desired.
I hope you don't mind me saying, Benjamin, you sound like quite a young man. Can I just ask you how you're... what age are you?
11.
Just 11 years old. Got a future pundit on our hands here. Nice. And Benjamin, what was your World Cup experience like? What was it like seeing Scotland on the big stage playing against some brilliant players and brilliant teams?
Well, in the Haiti game, I was like quite excited because it was the first game of the World Cup, and then they won. I went in with a bit of hope for the Morocco game, and then Brazil, I just thought, we have no chance.
Yeah, it was such a tough place for Scotland to be in, and the Steve Clarke news, I think, took the squad by surprise, especially with the timing of it, having signed a 4-year deal 4 weeks prior. Yeah. To that, and then addressing the squad on that Saturday night in camp. I'm not sure many of the squad were expecting that to happen after the World Cup.
I think a lot of people expect it to happen as well, though. I think the squad probably is a tight-knit squad, but Steve Clarke's always had his ways in terms that he picks the same group. He doesn't really leave the door open for many players to come into the group, which is his way. But I think people criticise him for it, and he probably thinks, I don't deserve this criticism. He knows he could probably go and get a good club job. And there'll be a wee bit of Steve Clarke thinking, he wants to be training every day, he wants to be in an environment, because I can tell that the players love him and he loves the players, and instead of doing that maybe for 6-7 weeks of the year, he probably wants to do it for 45 weeks of the year, and you can understand that.
Brilliant. Thank you to Benjamin. We'll need to get him sitting in next to you in a couple of weeks, Tony.
That's it.
Sounds like he's up to the job. Right, let me tell you about this.
Cruise down the Clyde with 101 convenience stores. Open all day, every day.
We'll get ready for an unforgettable night on the water as Clyde One and Cash for Kids bring you Cruise Down the Clyde. We're setting sail on board the iconic Waverley paddle steamer with DJ sets upstairs on the decks from the likes of Cassie, Gary Spence, Callum Gallagher and of course George Bowie, bringing you the GBX. Plus downstairs, Grant Thompson will be going head to head in a DJ battle with special guest Stephen Mill. It's happening on Friday the 31st of July and it's all to help children in Ayrshire, Glasgow and the West. But you need to be quick, over 80% of the tickets are already gone. And if you fancy a night partying while raising money, you can get your tickets now at clyde1.com/cashforkids. Cruise Down the Clyde is brought to you all thanks to 101's convenience stores.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been looking at Rangers transfer business. We've been looking at maybe a lack of transfer business for Celtic. Maybe you've got thoughts on what's happening elsewhere around Scotland, or with the Scotland national team knocked out of the World Cup, Steve Clarke resigning, who is going to be the next man in charge of the national team? You can let us know, 0141 951 1025. We're also watching on as England are drawing with DR Congo with just 5 minutes to go of the 90. It's England 1, DR Congo 1. DR Congo took the lead. Harry Kane equalised about 10 minutes ago. It's a game that could go either way, Tony.
Yeah, it's not as if England have got them camped in their box. Congo've had a couple of chances. They're in England's half quite a bit as well. I don't think it's a, even now, look, it's a 4v3. I don't think it's a formality that England are going to just win this, but I do think the longer it goes on, England's quality could show a wee bit more.
Yeah, it looks as if it definitely could go to extra time. We'll keep you posted if there are any goals in that game before the end of the show. Let's go back to the phones. Malcolm is a Celtic fan up next. Malcolm, how are you?
I'm good, yourself?
Not too bad, thanks. What are you thinking about your team at the moment?
Not much, to be quite honest. I like the things they're doing in the background. Getting a set-piece coach in is a total change of direction, which is absolutely fantastic. But my thing was, is every year we're in the same place. We're speaking about some other teams are making signings and obviously marking big things about, oh, what a goal.
But you've just said it there. Harry Kane has just smashed one into the top corner with 4 minutes to go of the 90. It's England 2, DR Congo 1. Malcolm giving us a live commentary over the phone there. What a goal that is, Tony.
It's been.
Do you know what? There's a video of him on, I watch like the England training sometimes, and there's a video of him, and see when he takes that touch, he's off balance. How he generates so much power and accuracy, but he does it constantly in the training sessions. It is incredible. He's one of the most natural finishers I've ever seen. He's carrying them because they have been horrendous.
Yeah, that's a brilliant goal from Harry Kane. Anyway, back to the topic at hand, Malcolm. You're feeling all right about things. You know, we had a previous caller on, slightly concerned about the lack of transfer business. You feel there's plenty of time to get stuff sorted?
Your previous caller says he's a Celtic fan, but he comes on all the time just slates him. I don't even think he's a Celtic fan. It's just, what a goal that is, but sorry. But, that's world class, boys. That is world class.
He is world class. He is.
He's the difference maker. That is,
no keeper saving that.
No, I feel sorry for Congo because they did well, but it's not finished yet.
How does he get so much power?
But Malcolm's point there. I suppose there will be a split of opinion between some Celtic fans that, you know, some will feel that they want to get stuff done faster, and you look at the last couple of transfer windows where things definitely haven't gone the way that supporters would want. Michael Nicholson admitted that himself about the summer window last season, that, you know, they left it too late. They didn't get the players in that they wanted. You then look at quite a few of the players that came in towards the end of the January window, weren't contributing towards the end of the season. Despite that, Celtic still won a double. But can you see where some supporters are coming from, Malcolm, that, you know, there maybe needs to be a shift in the transfer market, whether it is timing or whether it is just who Celtic bring in? No? You're quite happy for it to continue?
Rangers spent £49 million last year. Everybody says £40 million because they don't play it. But if you look at the books, it's £49 million quid. They came third. And everybody's on about, oh, Rangers went early this year. Yeah, they got their manager on. They went early. Great. Fantastic. They finished third. Right. Celtic have just turned around and said, right, we've got our box room staff on. This is what we're looking at. This is what we've got to try to do. Give them time. I think...
But rather than just the timing of it, Malcolm, you know, some people would have an issue with the quality or maybe the lack of quality that has come in over the last few transfer windows. You look at guys like Joel Mvuka, Benjamin Arthur, Junior Adamu, Thomas Trinchera, guys that haven't really made too much of an impact, Balakwisha as well. Surely despite the timing of it, there maybe needs to be more quality brought in and things need to be done, you know, in a better manner in that sense, no?
Yes, I think under Martin O'Neill, we'll get the same amount of turnover, getting like six players. I don't think that was him and Maloney's players, to be quite honest. But I don't think we'll get the same turnover of players. I think we'll get four, five, six, maybe quality players of a class of Martin O'Neill. We're going back to 2023. He's gone back to that. He's stating that himself. But the thing is, nobody wins a pre-season cup. We hear this conversation every single year. We get to this time and, oh, Rangers have signed six, seven, eight players and they're all got to be world-class and end up being absolute. The boy they've signed today for Sunderland, he played 16 games for Ipswich last season. 16 games. Come on. Now they've won the pre-season cup already. Come on, guys. Get time.
I don't think we've had anyone on this show that's been saying that, you know, the players are absolute world beaters yet. We don't know. It sort of remains to be seen whether, you know, the players will turn out to be good or not. In terms of Celtic's transfers and what Malcolm's talking about, the fact that Martin O'Neill is in the door and now has this pre-season and will have more time to sort of plan and look at things, you'd expect there to be a better hit rate for Celtic in this summer window than there was at the end of the January window when he was in.
Well, it can only really be the same or better because...
It's not going to get worse.
It's not going to get worse. I think Araujo showed a glimpse, but you could clearly see the quality difference when Alistair Johnson came back in the team. Other than that, who really succeeded? I think you could make a case for the Ox getting another year. I think he chipped in with a couple of big goals. He showed that if he was fit, he could... be a real good player for Celtic. But other than that, there's nobody really. It's, nobody got flying colours past marks. Nobody was a 10 out of 10 signing. Probably not even anybody over a 7 out of 10 signing. However, I don't think Martin O'Neill was fully invested in these signings, and a lot of them came without any football had been played. Now, I think Celtic should now go down the route of buying players that played a lot of games last year.
Well, thank you to Malcolm. Just very quickly, because we don't have much time left, another big bit of transfer news today. Luke Graham, the Dundee defender, you know, I'd heard Celtic and Rangers fans saying that he's someone they should look at. Looks as if he's going to Stoke City. Is that maybe a missed opportunity for the teams, you feel, a young Scottish defender who's played a lot of football?
Yeah, a couple of £1 million, yeah. I think it's a no-risk signing nowadays. £2 million's nothing for these two teams, but by all accounts, he wanted to go to England, and fair play to the lad.
Well, that is all we have time for tonight. It is into injury time between England and DR Congo. DR Congo were 1-0 up, but Harry Kane has scored twice. So it's England 2, DR Congo 1 with 4.5 minutes to go of injury time. So we'll see whether DR Congo can cause a shock and take that one to extra time. Maybe England are through to the next round. But thank you to Tony Watt in the studio. Thank you to you at home for listening in, getting involved on the phones, on social media, watching along on the live stream. I'll be back tomorrow night with Gordon DL, and it is Callum Gallagher that's up next.